Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Noah's excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Give thanks to you this morning. You are our strength, you are our help. You are the one that has called us with such a holy calling like this to be priests and kings unto our God. We thank you for such a privilege and an honor. We are grateful to you, our Father, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we rest upon you again this morning that you will cause Christ to be made alive in our midst. We know he is alive, but we want to see him. We want to know it. We want the reality of his life to dawn on us in such a strong way. Cause it to be in the name of Jesus. Let the word of life come to us, quicken us again. Cause us to live further in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Shall we quickly open our Bible to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2? I will just talk briefly about a few things. I'll just touch a little about priesthood. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 1 says, "Wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Hallelujah. Now, in these passages of scripture, you see the word priesthood being mentioned in two different places. The first is in verse 5, which talks about we also are lively stones, are being built up. Now, the New King James Version, can you give us New King James Version? Is it present continuous or what does it call it? Yes. You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Now, if you look at it from the way the old KJV puts it, it presents it as something that has already been accomplished. He said, "You are built up." Now, when he said you are built up, it means the work is already done. But when you look at it from the way the New KJV puts it, it shows us that it is a work that is ongoing. So it's not as though we are already built up, but we are a building that God is still working on. He said, "You also as living stones are being built up." We are being built up. A spiritual house. A holy priesthood. In other words, we can say that the priesthood of God is also a house. That's what he's saying. He said, you also are living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. This house is a priesthood. Now, when you're talking about priesthood in this context, now, there are many ways you can look at priesthood. One way you look at priesthood, that's the definition that Bishop gave us yesterday. He said, an office. An office. You can look at priesthood from the context of an office of intermediary between God and men. It's a priesthood. So when we are talking about priesthood, we are also talking about the office that allows a man to stand before God because of men. It's an office. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 1 tells us that. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. What does it say? Let's look at that. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 1. It says, Hebrews chapter 5. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. So, from this perspective now, we can see that priesthood, or more particularly the high priest office, is actually an office that is an office that is for men, so that the person can stand before God on behalf of men. Hallelujah. And one of the things we will see here is that one of the things that stands at the core of priesthood is the issue of sins. Why? Because what is the work of a high priest? Is to offer both gifts and sacrifices for what? For sins. So that means that at the core of priesthood to us, at the core of priesthood to us is the matter of dealing with sins. But I don't think priesthood is all about sins. Because there is a time that is coming that sin would have been done away with, and yet priesthood will still stand. Hallelujah. God himself is the first priest. And if God himself is the first priest and he does not have sin, then it means that all about sins is not, all about priesthood is not about sins. Hallelujah. The pattern of the temple that Moses built was shown to him in heaven. And I don't think the reason why that temple was there in heaven was to take care of sins of angels, because angels didn't have sin in that contest. One of them sinned, God sent him away, and God shielded the rest from sin. Actually, it is God that is shielding the angels from sin. Bishop said something yesterday. He said, God knew that man will sin. Hello? Why did God know that man will sin? It's like bringing, how can I describe it? Look at this thing. You can imagine if you come and bring what is very weighty. Now, look at this. Look at this subwoofer. These two arrangements. Come and put them on this thing. Is it going to stand the weight? Hello? Is it going to stand the weight of it? It can't stand it. It can't. So God himself knew what sin is made up of. And God knows what man is made up of. The truth is that thing that is called sin is stronger than that man. If it was not... Now, why is it that Jesus could not sin? It's not that he was not tempted. It's because the working of God within him had capacity, he had ability to say no in all of his dimension. Listen, the same way Christ was tempted, Adam was tempted. The only reason why Christ could be tempted was because Adam was tempted, but he fell. I'm just trying to explain to us why, when we just said it yesterday, that God knew was going to sin. Why? Because God knew what he did, and he knew what sin was made up of. Whether you like it or not, man was made lower than what? Angels. The word Elohim in the Hebrew, he said you have made him lower than Elohim. Listen to me. The word Elohim is not used for only God. The word Elohim is even used for magistrates. He talks about people that stands to give judgment. He talks about, so when he said you made him lower than Elohim, he wasn't talking about making him lower than himself. He was talking about the mighty ones. He was talking about angels, because in the New Testament, when the writer of Hebrew was talking about it, he could have not used the word angels. He should have used the word God. But he said, thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Now, if sin destroyed an angel, and man is lower than angels, how does he want to cope with it? Hello? I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. That man has no other option. He's going to fall. He's going to. And God, listen, God permits Adam to either stand or fall, because he was not pushed to fall. God didn't push him to sin. God didn't make him to sin. God made him. Sin was there, and sin came, and he took the option of sin. But God knew that this guy is not going, this is what he's going to do. And we saw it in scripture that even before the foundation of the world, or from the foundation of the world, the atonement has already been provided. So it means that God had a plan, and he knew what was going on. Hallelujah. Now, why am I saying all of that? I'm just trying to just say a few things. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Now, man has sinned, and God is taking care of the issue of sins, and that is why an high priest is there. So I'm going somewhere. So we see that priesthood is actually an office. You know, there is a correlation between priesthood and ministry gifts today. And one of the core correlations you see there, I don't know where that particular scripture is right now. God was talking to Aaron. He said, listen, your priesthood office was not given to you because as a reward. It was not given to you by something you earned, but it is a gift to you. I gave it to you. Not because you worked for it, but I gave it to you. There's a particular scripture that is in Numbers. I don't know that particular scripture now. I would have shown us. But maybe you give me 30 seconds. Let me see if I can find that scripture. That scripture. Let me try and check Numbers chapter 8 if it is. If it is not, we'll move forward. We don't have time. Okay. It's not here. Hallelujah. All right. So their priesthood office that God gave them was actually a gift of God to them. God said it's not because you did anything. And that is why you now see that in Hebrews chapter 5. Yes, look at this. Thank you very much. Numbers 18. Therefore thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest's office for everything of the altar and within the veil, and ye shall serve. I have given your priest's office unto you as a service of gift. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. Hallelujah. Now, if you understand this scripture very well, God was telling them, listen to me. The give your office as a priest is actually a work that is a gift that is given to you. And that is why in the New Testament, we call apostle, prophet, what do we call them? Ministry, what? Gift. The Bible says he gave gifts unto men. It was not anything anybody worked for. God chose Aaron, not because Aaron did anything. In fact, God shouldn't have chosen Aaron. Because if you look at Exodus, it was Aaron that led the whole of Israel to sin by giving them a calf. God shouldn't have chosen him if God was to look at that. God had chosen Levi, and God chose Aaron among in Levi to actually serve as priest to him. Of course, like we saw yesterday, the Levi had zeal. But I don't think it's only Levi that have zeal. You think you are the most zealous people, that's why you are here. Go and look at people that have zeal. What was that definition that Bishop gave us about passion yesterday? There was something he said. I've forgotten the way he put it. He was talking about zeal or talking about passion. Hallelujah. It's a calling. It's a gift that God gave to them. So even in the New Testament, becoming a pastor, becoming a prophet, becoming an apostle are things that God gives to men. Hallelujah. Let me quickly go to where I'm actually going to this morning. All right. So now I said all of that because I was talking about priesthood in terms of the office. Talking about what the priest... So when if you are going to talk about the office, you are going to talk about the duties of that priest. You are going to talk about the obligations. You are going to talk about the powers. The priest, you are going to talk about his power, his privileges, his rights. You are going to talk about the instructions and the things that, how will I put it, the boundaries that a priest has. Bishop taught us some of these things yesterday. But now, when you are looking at, now if you now look at it from the perspective of 1 Peter 2:5, take us back to 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. 1 Peter 2:5 says, ye also, as lively stones, give us the new KJV version. I prefer that one. Ye also, as living stones. Now, let's take it from verse 4. Verse 4 says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, yes. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I don't think these sacrifices here are sacrifices for sins. No. I don't think so. This is not the kind of sacrifices that the high priest is making for sins and all that. No. This is more of what is coming from us to God. Hallelujah. This is more of what is coming from us to God. In fact, this is the true end of priesthood. Hallelujah. This is really the true end of priesthood, that we come to a position that we can begin to offer up spiritual sacrifices that God will accept. Now, but that end is not just going to come like that. You also are living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. I like the way the Strong's put that word priesthood. It's calling the fraternity of priests. The priesthood here is not talking about the office. It's talking about the community of priests. Hello? Hello? Now, the emphasis here is not actually about the office. Of course, you see that he talked about it. But when he's talking about, because when you look at it, he says a spiritual house. He's talking about a community of people, a community of priests. So he said, we all are being built up a spiritual house, our only priesthood, to offer us spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So one of the things that God is doing in our life is that He's building us into a priesthood. Of course, we are priests. Listen, our building is not what is going to make us priests. God, you saw those scriptures we saw yesterday. The Bible said that he has made us kings and what? And priests. But we will not begin to walk in the reality of our priesthood if there is no building. Hallelujah. He has made us kings and priests unto our God. You see, there are different levels of God's workings. There is what God has done for us. There is what God is doing in us. There is what God will do through us. Your inheritance is what God has done for you. Hey, now, if my dad has... What is my inheritance? Is it what I have done? Eh? What is inheritance? What is inheritance? It's what has been done for me. Maybe my dad has kept a $10 million somewhere for me in an account. That is an inheritance for me because he did it for me. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you are talking about your inheritance, you are talking about what God through Christ has already done for us. But God is working in me right now so that I can appropriate my inheritance. Hello? But how do you say it? That... there's a way they say it. Yes. So, as a father or as a parent, you are not only interested in building house or laying inheritance for your children, you are also interested in building those children so that the inheritance will not become a waste. Hallelujah. Priesthood is not what we are trying to work for. Priesthood is what God has made for us. Hello? But we will make a wreck of our priesthood if there is no building that is making us ready to stand in that capacity. And that is why, whether you are the son of Aaron or not, you don't even have a right to the temple until you are 30 years old, which is an age of maturity, which is an age of responsibility. Thank God you have been born as, like Bishop told us yesterday, that it's a genealogy counts. If you are not born to it, you cannot be it. If you are not born into it, you cannot be. But we have been born into priesthood. Listen to me. The nature of our spirit is priest. And God, the purpose of God ultimately is that we are going to be trained and learn and be built up until a point where we can begin to walk in the reality of the priesthood. Hallelujah. So if you say I'm a priest, you are correct. But in the reality of it, like like Eleazar, as a teenager, can say, yes, I'm a priest. But the truth is that they will not accept him. They won't allow him to go into the temple until he's 30 years old. And when he's 30, now they believe that he has matured and he has the capacity now to begin to offer unto God. Hallelujah. Amen. Alright, so you also as living stones have been built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Can you see that word? To offer up. Can you see that? It's to offer how? Offer up. That is why, you know, the temple is not on the plain. The temple is on Zion. The temple is in Zion. What is Zion? Zion is a citadel. It's a city on a hill. That's where God put the temple. All of these things are talk. They are messages they are carrying, they are sending to us. And every portion of that temple is actually is a high place. The highest place in the temple is that most holy place. You don't understand when the Bible says Satan took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple. He's not just talking about the physical construction. He's talking about the highest point of that place. He's talking about the highest place, not just the center, but the highest place of that matter. That was where he took him to. So every portion of that temple, you're actually journeying from height to height. Even the altar has to have steps. What am I trying to say in essence this morning? That there is a need for a building. That we will not realize what God has called us as priests if we are not being raised by God. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 6. 1 Kings chapter 6. Ushers, please, when I have 5 minutes left, let me know. First Kings chapter 6, verse 7. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7. And the temple, when it was being built, was built with stone, finished at the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. It's talking about the temple here. This temple was built with what? Stones. So you understand when the Bible is talking in the New Testament and it's talking about stones, you get to know where it's coming from. And the temple, when it was being built, was built with stone, finished as the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. Now, Moses built a temple. See, that guy, Solomon, we need to understand that guy. We blame him many times, but that guy is deep. David cannot give birth to a shallow son. There are many things about Solomon that we don't know. Many things about Solomon we don't know. That maybe with time, God will begin to open our eyes to see them. One of the things about Solomon is that, now, remember when Solomon was going to build the temple? What did he do? He went to hire somebody that was what? A Gentile. What was God saying? I will bring the Gentile to be a part of this work. He wasn't doing something out of order. He was only laying, he was giving a shadow of the real thing that God was going to do. That Israel will not just be the only part. The Gentiles will not only be a part of this building. The Gentiles will be, they will be a major part of the building work itself. So he went to Tyre and bring somebody who is a Gentile to come and do the work of the building. Hallelujah. Can you see the wisdom of God? And I'm saying that we can't. I don't like to look at Solomon in the surface. I want to really look, what is this guy doing? Why? What is he doing? What is he trying to achieve? You see, all of those things I did, now, you hear in Acts of the Apostles, David wanted to build a house. I mean, a tabernacle. Solomon built him a temple. You think Solomon does not have sense? What is a tabernacle? It's movable. Solomon was telling God, you are going to stay in Israel. They are not going to move you away again. We want you to stay in it. Can you carry this church away? Eh? It's going to be, is that how you pull it down and build somewhere else? But if it is a tent, all we need to do is to dismantle it and move it. Solomon said Moses built a tabernacle because they were in the wilderness. They didn't need a temple in the wilderness because they were moving. Solomon told God, we are no longer moving. We are now, you have given us Canaan, we are here now. We don't need a tabernacle. What we need is a temple. God, stay.
God do what?
Stay.
That's what he was saying. That's why he used stones. And in the New Testament, what did they say they are using to build this, the temple? Is it pegs? Is it canopy? It's stones. So it's correct. The guy is correct. He knows what he's doing. God says, I want to have a permanent place to stay. See, it is possible for us to keep. And do you know that? Why did God now send the Holy Ghost? Why did God send the Holy Ghost? It's to give him an eternal commitment to us. Because the Bible said the Holy Ghost has been given and is not going to what? He's not going to leave. Is it John chapter 14 verse 16? Is it John 14 verse 16? What's in John chapter 14 verse 16? And I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you what? Forever. What are they trying to do? He said that he may abide with you forever. And we have learned that in the Old Testament, they did not have this kind of experience. The Holy Ghost only comes upon men when there is need to do something. And that is why if you are still among those people that believe you should only speak in tongues when the Holy Ghost moves you, you are wrong. Hello? You are operating an Old Testament order. Did I say anything wrong? Now that it was in the Old Testament, now, they only move. The Bible said, only, of course, now, be careful. We are not saying that you can always move the Holy Ghost, because some people can move the Holy Ghost. Because Holy Ghost, this is what I want you to do now. Move in that place. Scatter the old chairs there. Throw them here. Then, that's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm saying here is this, that in the New Testament, the Holy Ghost is having an abiding presence. God is having an abiding presence with us because the Holy Ghost is here. Because the Holy Ghost is here. So it's a forever thing. And that was what Solomon was actually trying. Of course, you know that one, even that one cannot abide. God said, but do you know, you think Solomon did not know? When he was praying, did he not say, God, I know you cannot dwell. You dwell in the heavens of heavens. We know you can't dwell in the temple that man builds. But still, come, stay. He knew God would not stay in that place. But he was trying to bring a sense. And he was trying to see, let's make God to stay with us and not have to leave. Why? Because we are not migrating any longer. Hallelujah. I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Now, so we saw that. Take us back to that 1 Kings chapter 6 verse 7. 1 Kings chapter 6 verse 7. And the temple when it was being built was built with stone finished at the quarry so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. So we saw that Solomon used stones to build the temple and no, that's not possible. 5 minutes. No. Amen. I'm just doing preambles. Hallelujah. Okay. The Lord will take control. Let me close the Bible. Okay, sir. All right, sir. Pastor is very gracious. He has given me 10 minutes. Actually, I had time. Okay. All right. Amen. So now, but you now see that in the New Testament, now, that God said he's going to use, so in the New Testament, we are called stones, but there is something they call us what? Living stones. Living what? Living stones. So that means that these are stones that has what? Life. It talks about stones upon which God can walk. Not the kind of work he did in the Old Testament. Not the kind of work, you know, and now you know that the Old Testament was written on what? On stones. But God says, the work I'm going to do in New Testament is that I'm not going to impose my will on men. I'm going to work in their heart. These men will willingly give themselves to me. And what I do in them is not just going to be because I came and imposed something on them. That is why in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if I'm not wrong, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You see what I'm saying? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's see verse 3 or thereabouts. 2 Corinthians 3:3. What does it say? Clearly you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on tablets of flesh. That is of what? Of the heart. So when God was talking about living stone, now in the New Testament, he said, for you, take us back to 1 Peter 2:5. Take us back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. But you as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer us spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So what God is using to build now is living stones. He's talking about hearts of flesh. People that can yield to God. I don't have time. Let me just paraphrase. So when we are talking about living stones, like I said, we are talking about us that can people that can yield to God. That's why when you look at Romans chapter 6, you hear things like yield yourself to God. You don't tell Gentiles to yield themselves to God. A Gentile is dead. Has no capacity to respond to God. You need to get him born again. When you get him born again and the Holy Ghost comes in, what the Holy Ghost begins to do is that he begins to take away. In Ezekiel chapter 33, God was telling them, take us there, Ezekiel chapter 33. What verse is it? Ezekiel 33. If you can quickly get that verse. Ezekiel 33. What verse is it that he was talking about? Let's leave that. There's no time. So now in Ezekiel 33, or is it 33? Maybe I'm mistaken. It was talking about God will take away from them the heart of stone, and he's going to give them what? A heart of flesh. Meaning, I'm going to make you yield to me. Now, another thing God is, when God talks about, when you're talking about the heart of flesh, you are talking about hearts that can change. Now, one of the core things about the New Testament is about change. It's about transformation. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3, 18. What does it say? 2 Corinthians 3, 18. Quickly. 2 Corinthians 3, 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, have been what? Transformed. KJV is what? Are being changed into the same image. Listen to me. Stones don't change like that. Now, but the picture of the New Testament is that, now, you know, in the Temple of Solomon, they told us that those stones were made from the quarry. That means they have to cut them to sizes so that they can fit into what they want to do in the temple. So that when they were building the temple, all they were just doing was to fix them. That is why, listen, when your season comes, it's always too easy the way it comes. Why? Because there was a time for preparing. You don't get what I said. Now, how do I put it? When the season of a man comes, many times it's usually like miracle. When I mean season, when God wants to begin to, I'm not talking about is within work. When God wants to begin to do the things he has been preparing you for, everybody looks like, are you really serious? Is this thing happening? You can imagine building a temple and all you need to do is just to begin to put this stone here, then you put the next one, then you put the next one, and there is no noise. There is no struggle. Why? Because all the struggles that needed to have been done has been done in the quarry. So what God is saying is this. So God is working within us. And so what I'm saying in essence is this. When we are talking about living stones, we are actually talking about men that can be transformed. It is not everybody that can change. And if you cannot change, if the influence of God cannot bring transformation to you, you cannot be built. Listen, and that is why the easier you respond to God, the faster God's workings with you. Hallelujah. The less resistance, the more work that is done within a short time. Look at what God says. He said, for it is God who is at work in you, both to what? To will and to do. God can't do anything if people are not willing. That's why he said that your people shall be willing in the day of his power. God can't do anything with people if they are not willing. The fact that we are willing to yield and submit to God is what, that is what makes us living. Listen to me. You are not just alive because you are quickened or because you are born again. You are alive because you are yielding yourself to God. If you are not yielding to God, there is no life working inside. There is no building. There is no priesthood. There's a scripture that's coming to my mind that I just forgot. Oh, Pastor. Hallelujah. Amen. It is well, like mommy said. Can I summarize? There's a scripture that escaped me that I wanted to say. But what I'm saying in essence is this. Hebrews 5, take us back to that. I'll close on this. Hebrews, I've already exhausted my 10 minutes. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Yes, Hebrews 5, 9. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. And having been perfected, talking about our great high priest, Jesus Christ, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who do what? To all who do what? These are living stones. Your obedience is the mark of life. Your obedience is what makes you living. If we are not obeying God, we are not living. Living stones are hearts that have become malleable, that can yield and respond to God, that can obey God. Listen, the high priestly ministry of Jesus Christ will not benefit us if we don't come here. If we don't come here. That's what I just want to share with us this morning. That we all are living stones. We are not stones like they use in the Old Testament. God is not trying to struggle with men. Do you know even God said in is it Genesis? He said, my spirit will not always strive with men. I'm not going to be struggling with them every time. Hallelujah. God wants us to come to a place where we are yielded, where we are submitted to Him. You can imagine that even the Holy Ghost can be, what did the Bible talk about with the Holy Ghost? We should not do something about the Spirit. Eh? We should not grieve the Spirit. Can you imagine that? You should not grieve Him. You can make Him sad. You can make Him unhappy. And if you do that, it's not profiting you. They even told us that our ministers, we should obey them so that they will do it joyfully, so that it will benefit us. Hallelujah. May the Lord help us this morning. May the Lord help us this week. And let there be a transformation within us. Take away every inhibitions. Take away every struggles. Let the struggles begin to cease. That every heart that God has been trying to lay hold on for years that I have been unrepentant, that there will be a breaking. There will be a breaking. Our heart will open up to God in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our Men of Spirit field meetings, School of Diocese, every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday, 6 p.m. Sunday meetings, 9 a.m. Grace be with you.